Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Happy, what day is it? Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. It's the 21st day of October. Paul Douglas joining you. Jordana has the day off. She was insistent. She wanted to go out with the kids, make snow angels in the yard. I reminded Jor that you shouldn't be face down when you're making the snow angels. Always better to be face up, looking at the sky, staring at the heavens. But hey, you do you, whatever it takes. Hope your Wednesday is going well. Glad there's nothing leaking out of the sky right now. Dave Josephson, DJ, producing today. And I have to say, DJ, I'm feeling some guilt right now because I'm sitting in my dad's dining room. That's not why I feel guilty. I drove east to be with dad, to see family. And
is he going to cut the crust off your PB&J for lunch tomorrow, or how does that work?
No, he doesn't do that. He stopped doing that last year. He still critiques me as only a parent can. You never stop being a parent. But it's always great seeing dad. And, you know, we like everybody else during the pandemic, we do the FaceTimes and the Skype calls and we email back and forth. Dad can't hear a thing. So the Skype calls are cool because you get the closed captioning. So he can actually read what I'm saying when we do Skype. But there's no comparison to face-to-face. Nice to give your parents, your grandparents a hug. And but I'm sitting here in shorts and a really bad Hawaiian shirt because it's in the low 70s right now in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I'm a safe distance from Philly. I'm in Lancaster County, the Amish country, and it's nice and mild. And I feel guilty admitting that the weather is nice. Is that messed up?
Well, Paul, it's messed up because those of us here who enjoy the snow just feel terribly for you because you missed the first snowball fight and the first snow angel and the first snowman of the year. And many of us, including most of the folks in my family, just feel terribly sorry for you that you're out there and have to endure that 70-degree weather.
That's the right attitude. I was afraid what kind of reaction I'd get because I mentioned to Jordana how nice the weather is where I am right now. And by the way, I planned this road trip months ago. So I had no idea. I wish I could say, yeah, I knew there'd be a warm front over the East Coast in late October. I didn't. And like everybody else, you know, you throw the dice and hope the weather cooperates with your plans. But I do feel a smidge of guilt because it has been nice here, and I know the weather has been challenging. I like the snow, too. I'm not crazy about driving in it, but look, it beats earthquakes and wildfires and hurricanes. I'll take the snow any day of the week. Easy for me to say, sitting here in my shorts. But yesterday, for the record, it was a record. The heaviest snow we've ever gotten so early in the season. Officially, at the airport where nobody lives willingly at MSP, 7.9 inches. And I was on the air yesterday. I filled in for Dave Lee in the morning, and I thought forecasting 6 inches was going out on a limb. But the advisory was upgraded to a warning, and the axis of heaviest snow set up right over the South Metro. I think Lakeville, Burnsville, 8 to 9 inches of snow. That's crazy. I mean, normally we get our first snow cover the end of November. Normally. Normal year. And when Minnesota's weather becomes normal, would somebody text me or tweet me? Yeah, we swing from one extreme to the next. But it was the second greatest October snow since 1880. We have reliable data going back about 140 years. Was there more snow before 1880? Probably. But since we've had reliable weather observations in the Twin Cities since about 1880, only the Halloween superstorm, October 31st, 91, we had 8.2, and yesterday, 7.9. We just missed it by, what, 0.3 inch of snow. And, yeah, very, very unusual to get this much snow this early in the season. Does it portend, you know, a white-knuckle, hideous winter with meteorologists babbling about the polar vortex? I don't think so. Data suggests that just because we get cold and snow in October, it does not necessarily mean that the rest of the winter is going to be especially bad. Case in point, 91, the Halloween superstorm, 20, 30 inches of snow. People thought, oh, my God, here we go. It's going to be terrible. Well, all our snow was front loaded. The rest of the winter, 91, 92, wasn't that bad. In fact, we didn't see terribly much snow after the Halloween superstorm. We got it all in one burst. Mark Seely, Dr. Mark Seely, is going to be joining us shortly, providing a little perspective on yesterday's snow burst. And yeah, there's more snow in the forecast. We'll keep you updated on that. There is other news, believe it or not. And my dad, my 90-year-old dad, is going to share a story. All that coming next. Too soon? Too soon? DJ, don't hate me. We have our Christmas tree up.
Okay, we need to stop the rest of the show and talk about that. That's a problem.
Look,
it's October 21st. You have your Christmas tree up?
I have the freedom to put up the Christmas tree. We've got snow on the ground and very little daylight.
Jesus wasn't born in November, Paul. It's December 25th.
We celebrate Jesus year-round.
Word.
And we keep our tree up from usually it's Halloween right through March.
I got to take a break. I can't even handle this.
I'm sorry. Are you offended?
Yes, I am.
Disgusted? Hey, if it makes you happy, why not? I mean, we love the white twinkly lights. They make us happy. We all need to do things that make us happy that aren't illegal. Dr. Mark Seely is the dean of not only climatology in Minnesota, historical perspective, but also meteorology. If you've been around Minnesota for all of 10 minutes or more, you know who Dr. Mark Seely is. And I'm proud to call him a friend, a mentor, a colleague. Mark Seely has written a slew of books, including the Minnesota Weather Almanac, which is just chock full of amazing information. And I thought, today, take off the meteorology hat, put on the therapist hat, because all of us, I think, need a little bit of weather therapy today and perspective, putting yesterday's snowburst into perspective. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks, Paul. It's always good to chat with you. And yes, like everybody else around here, we're kind of recovering from the shock of yesterday.
Well, what went through your mind? You've seen a lot of storms over the years, and you have a unique perspective. I know we set a record for the most snow so early in the season. What else stood out for you?
Well, how widespread. The other geographic aspect of the storm that went across us yesterday was the geography, Paul. It was enormous. You know, it left a very unlike many of our renowned October snows in our historic past. This one left a very, very large footprint.
Yeah, there were a lot of amazing amounts, and the most I could find, at least in the immediate metro, 9.5 inches in New Prague, which, and again, 7.9 officially, by my understanding, that is more snow yesterday than we had in a single day all of last winter. And people are scratching their heads and they're going, hey, it's technically it's still autumn. What's going on here? And the question I get asked, and I'm going to push this off to you and see if you have a good answer. Does this mean that it's going to be an especially tough winter? Is there any data in your historical record that shows that if we get unusual cold and snow early in the season, October, that in any way tips the scales in favor of a snowier, colder winter?
Well, statistically speaking, I think we can say emphatically no to that. Historically, our records go deep into the 19th century. We start with the Smithsonian observations of the 1850s and come forward in time. We only have, Paul, in those records on a statewide view about 18 snow seasons that started in the month of October with a resounding mass of snow hitting somewhere in the state. And as I just said, not necessarily the scale of the footprint that hit us yesterday. Some of these started, for example, a snow season in the Red River Valley or in southwestern Minnesota or in the Iron Range of northern Minnesota. So it wasn't as large of a footprint. And out of all those numbers, out of that pool of data historically, we can only find three winters where it persisted through the entire duration. And they're very famous. They're quite famous winters. And one of them in our lifetime, 1991-1992, of course, starting with the Halloween blizzard and ending up with about 46 or 47 inches of snow in the month of November. But the other two, 1916-1917, which for that generation of Minnesota citizens was remembered as the resounding longest winter of their lifetime, and quite dramatic in terms of the stoppage of the railroads, even the streetcar systems in the Twin Cities. And then, of course, the famous Laura Ingalls Wilder long winter of 1880 and 1881, which started with a blizzard in southwestern Minnesota over October 16 through 18, and was indeed a long, long duration winter.
Mark, let me ask you the question that I get often, and I know you've been connecting the dots with weather and climate. Climate is the flip side of weather.
Right.
And a lot of people say, well, Paul, if the world is warming, how on earth can we get heavy snow in October? And I talk about, well, a warmer atmosphere holds more moisture, so when it rains harder. When it snows harder. That doesn't seem to satisfy a lot of people. I'm just curious, your answer, your take on that. How do we get deluged with snow if the atmosphere is warming over time?
Well, because there's still so much variability. Let's back away from that first and acknowledge that whenever we look at our climate statistics in our region of the country, we see astounding variability. We see astounding variability week to week, month to month, year to year, decade to decade, all over the place. We're parked right in the middle of the North American continent, so we can get weather of all varieties. Mm-hmm. And so it's the variability factor that gets overlooked. Just because we talk about climate change and we talk about the warming signal and the higher moisture signal that we see embedded in our data, it doesn't mean that that's a constant signal. Around that signal is a huge, huge degree of variability. And analogous to the classic baseball analogy where a rookie player solely improves his batting average, say 10 points a year, goes from 280 to 330 or something like that, you know, which is a very, very wonderful batting average. But in the act of doing so, if you watch that day-to-day or season-to-season, he strikes out 80 times one season, he strikes out 140 times another season, you know, he maybe there's variability around all those trend numbers. And that's what we overlook. We don't want to overlook that, because if we overlook that, we actually oversimplify the footprint of climate change.
That's a great explanation. I had not heard that analogy, but that makes sense to me. Is the variability, the volatility increasing? Is there more volatility in the weather system now based on your observations?
Well, it depends on what variable you're talking about, Paul, and I think you've probably heard the same story from the Minnesota State Climate Office. If you're talking about the variability of daily temperature, in many of our locations in the state, we're actually seeing somewhat reduced variability in temperature. But with respect to the precipitation, and of course whether it's liquid or snow, we're seeing increased variability in precipitation. So the dry periods are drier, the wet periods are wetter. The lack of snow is more pronounced, the abundance of snow is more pronounced, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and that's what I'm tracking as well. Nice to have some collaboration on explaining a complex story, but a very important story.
Absolutely.
Mark, are you doing okay? Is your Christmas tree up yet?
No, we haven't. haven't jumped the gun. The big event in our family is another new grandbaby coming next month, so everybody's got their eyes fixed on wow. Mom and Dad staying healthy, and everything leading up to that is going to go well. So that's the first order of business on the Sealy agenda.
How many grandkids?
This will be number 3.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, congratulations. You got an early Christmas gift on the way.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Mark, thank you. Always a pleasure, and hope to have you back frequently with your perspective and your voice and experience. We sure appreciate you. Hang in there, and my best to your amazing family.
Thanks very much, Paul.
Thank you. That was Mark Sealy providing some perspective. I had not heard the comparison with baseball. That makes sense. Anyway, we need your help. We need a guest judge. We're going to play When I Was 21. And we need somebody to call in right now, 651-989-9226. When I Was 21, next.
Try to tell us we're too young. Too young to really be in love.
So, what were you doing when you were 21? What were you listening to? This was back in 1951, Nat King Cole, Too Young. My dad, Folker, was 21 back in 1951. We're going to hear another one of Dad's amazing stories at 5:30. So thought we would kick this off with Nat King Cole. We have a couple of celebrities here, one by the name of Corey Heppala, who I hope you'll listen to every weekday, 9 to noon, right here on CCO. Corey, thanks for joining us today and playing the game.
Awesome, Paul. You used the word celebrity very loosely there, but I'll take it.
Yeah, when in doubt, when somebody gives you a compliment, take it. blush, but take it anyway. Hey, where were you when you were 21? Just curious.
I was getting my first drink. I didn't drink till I was 21, and it was October 12th. 2002. I was in college at Concordia College in Moorhead, the Yale of the Midwest.
Nice. And you waited till you were 21. What a good boy you were.
Yeah, I made it. It just didn't really interest me. And then I had to learn how to corral it.
Yeah. Yeah. Moderation. The key to life in everything is moderation. But hey, thanks for jumping in here. And I want to hear what your tune is when you were 21. What was that at the top of the Billboard charts? But first, we want to introduce our guest celebrity judge, John in Apple Valley. Welcome to the show, John.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Thank you for calling in. When were you 21? Just curious.
1976.
1976. That was a very good year.
It was.
I remember the 70s vividly. I don't remember last week, but I remember the 70s. But, hey, you know how this works. You listen to the tunes. It's very subjective. And you make the call which of all those tunes is the best tune, okay?
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you, John. So, why don't we start? I guess we have to start with the oldest guy of the bunch, which is me. 1979, October the 21st. Here is what was at the top of the Billboard charts. Let's do the milkshake. Okay, I'm just going to wave the white flag.
It makes me so happy that this was the top song. I just imagine you and some, I don't know, what they wear, bell bottoms or something, dancing around to this. Is that true, Paul?
Yeah, we had the 8-track cranked.
I don't even know this song.
I don't either. I don't claim this song. There was good music in the 70s, but I don't think this was one of them. No offense to pop music, but oy. Next up is Corey Heppala. Let's go chronological. This was October 21st, 2002, at the top of the Billboard charts. No matter what I do, all I think about is you. Even when I'm with my boo, you know I'm crazy. Do you remember that, Corey?
Oh, do I remember that? That's Nelly and Kelly Rowland. That's it's Dilemma.
And did you dance to this? Did you enjoy this?
Look, I don't dance, at least not well. I don't dance. You know what, though? I will say it reminds me of, because that was October 2002, and I remember it turning 21. I remember going out. That was the last time the Twins won any playoff games, because I remember they had won the playoff game in 2002, and then they went to the ALCS against the Angels, and that was October 2002. And they haven't won a playoff game, a single one, since then.
So can we blame Nelly for that?
We could blame me being an adult.
You come of age, the Twins stop losing playoff games. Start. Oh, my God. All right. Well, that's not bad. That's certainly better than my entry. Our producer, DJ Dave Josephson, here is what was at the top of the charts in 2008. More than just a re-up, baby, you got all the puppets with the strings up, baking like a good one, but I call them like a sea. This was Womanizer. I have no recollection of this.
Yeah, you know, I remember like some this? Early Britney Spears, but I'm with you. I don't remember this one at all, and I guess it was top of the charts, but it's pretty forgettable. But, you know, I'm still stuck on, you know, Corey's comment about the Twins not winning since the early 2000s. And
put it into perspective.
Oh, I remember being so excited. I was in high school, and then I think they maybe won one game, maybe or something in 2004, and then it's just been nothing since then. So
it's been quite a drought. Yep.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Dave, you're right. They did win one game in 2004. They haven't won a series since 2002.
That's right. But remember, we won that first game against the. I don't know why we turned this into sports, but they won that first game in the. Yep. In the ALCS against the Angels in 2002 when Nelly was topping the charts, and then it
they swept out after that.
Anyway,
did I mention I went to the World Series game that the Twins won back in 87? Wow. One of the advantages of being old is that I was there with my pregnant wife in the stands cheering on Kirby.
Corey and I both had babysitters that night, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. This is whoa, look at the time. We're running late. So there you have it. Not our best lineup, Corey, but I'm just curious. John and Apple Valley, it's sort of the least awful song. Do you have any opinion on who wins this week?
Well, I'd have to say Corey.
Corey, yes. Corey, look at you.
Yes,
Nelly.
John. Yes.
All right.
Woo! If we play this long enough, maybe the Twins will win a playoff game. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Hey, John and Apple Valley, thank you for weighing in. Really appreciate you making the effort, and we sure appreciate you coming along for the ride, John. Best wishes,
thank you
sir.
Very much. Yeah.
You bet.
Thank you.
Hang in there. And, Corey, it's always great having you on. Sure appreciate you and what you do every morning here on CCO. Are you doing okay? You holding up okay?
We're doing great. Yeah, all things considered. So thanks for asking. Yeah, we're doing just fine. The show's rocking and rolling, and appreciate all the listeners out there. It's been great. Yeah.
Any special guests coming up? I don't mean to ambush you, but anything you want to mention about tomorrow or later this week?
Yes, actually, we have a great guest tomorrow. She's a former world champion poker player, professional poker player, Annie Duke. A lot of people may remember the name. She was like in the heyday of poker. She was like winning titles and really popular. She's got a new book out, and it is on making better choices and how you can make better choices even when you're, you know, you might not know what the outcome is, but better putting yourself in better positions. And she's got a lot of new info on that. I find it fascinating. And so she's going to be on at 9:35 tomorrow.
Boy, we could riff on that for a long time, making better choices.
Yeah.
Oh, man, there's so much there to mine. Corey Heppala, thank you for joining us. You hang in there, and best wishes to your amazing family.
Same to you, Paul. Thanks.
Thank you. When we come back, Hummer, are you going to put some money down for that new all-electric Hummer? The details are jaw-dropping. That's coming up next. So, Paul here, by the way, thank you for tuning in. Hope your Wednesday is going well. 21st day of October, 3:52 right now. Are you standing in line? Are you queuing up for the new Hummer EV? Hummer has an all-electric vehicle, and you can sign up now to get on the list. It's going to run you a few bucks, up to 1,000 horsepower. The specs are pretty jaw-dropping, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. This thing has three motors, a range of 350 miles. You can remove the four roof panels, turn it into kind of a roadster, a convertible. I've never seen this before. The vehicle can crab walk. Not sure why you would want to have your vehicle crab walk, but you can in this Hummer EV. That's the good news. The bad news is, and I'm hoping this is a typo, 113,000 or 113,000.
Wait, I thought the only reason to buy a Hummer was just to needlessly waste gas. So now if it's electric, it kind of takes all the fun out of, you know, just paying for lots of gas for no reason. So I don't understand the appeal.
Well, I think for people that want to be environmentally conscious and still, you look, I mean, you pay that much for a vehicle, pretty obvious to me you're showing off. And my fear, and good for General Motors for doing this, but it's $112,595. Yeah, it's $113,000.
Oof.
But again, this gives the impression that, oh, electric vehicles are only playthings for rich people. And that's not the case. You can get into an electric vehicle in the 30s and 40s. You don't have to spend stupid money, six figures, to get an all-electric vehicle. But, I mean, all the auto manufacturers, not just in this country, but BMW, Mercedes, they're all getting into the game. Tesla was ahead of the curve, but they're going to have a lot of competition. So I thought that was interesting. When's the last time you were in a movie theater, DJ?
Oh, wow. You know, probably a year ago, maybe more, actually. We don't go a lot anyway, and obviously not since March. It's been a very long time.
Well, you can rent out an entire movie theater for your family if you're a little freaked out about sitting someplace for 2 or 3 hours with strangers and breathing their air during a pandemic. You can rent out the whole theater. And, you know, the rates start at $99.
Wow.
But it can go up to $349 depending on the movie, the location of the theater. Other add-ons like food and drink, it's all about the upsell. I get that. You can even rent a microphone to greet your guests. That costs an extra $100.
Well, you can, I can yell loud for $100, but I think that's a great idea. If it's only $100 or $200 and you could invite just, you know, maybe for Thanksgiving instead of having dinner. Yep. If you want to be socially distant, you say, everybody come, we'll watch a movie together. You'll be sort of in proximity. You'll be warm together. And it might be cheaper than just going to a movie if you get 20 plus people in there.
Well, yeah, I mean, just do the math. You can have up to 20 of your closest friends or family members. So if it costs you, let's just round up. Maybe it costs you $200, and there are 20 of you. All right.
That's $10 each, Paul, I think, if my math is right.
Yeah. That almost seems reasonable. Anyway.
Can you bring your own Thanksgiving dinner?
I don't know. I think they want to sell you food and drink.
Probably.
But, you know, what you smuggle in on your pockets, that's your business, right?
Yeah. Put a few Snicker bars in the wife's purse and you're off and rolling.
Yeah. Once I got busted for going into a theater with a water bottle.
Oh.
I'm sorry, sir. You can't bring that in. Are you kidding me?
They didn't find the six pack on the other side of the bag?
No six pack. So now my wife smuggles water in her purse. Hey, when we come back, the other news of the day you need to hear next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.